Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones. In the show today, I'm excited to talk with Ken Peterman, President, Government Systems at Viasat, a global communications company. For more than 30 years, Viasat has helped shape how consumers, businesses, government, and militaries around the world communicate. In April 2013, Ken joined Viasat as Vice President, Government Systems. Now, just over a year later in June 2014, he was appointed Senior Vice President, Government Systems, and in May 2017, he assumed his current position as President, Government Systems. Ken has over 30 years of experience in general management, systems engineering, strategic planning, portfolio management, and business leadership in the aerospace and defense industries. Ken, it's an honor to have you on our show today, and welcome.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here. Appreciate it.
To begin, Ken, can you share with us a little more about Viasat?
Sure, I'm glad to. Viasat is a success story in multiple dimensions. Three young engineers founded the company in 1986 with just a few thousand dollars of startup capital. They started in one of the founders' garage, Mark Dankberg's garage, actually, and began work on satellite communications programs that were primarily in the UHF frequency band then, and then moved across all different satellite programs in DoD and Five Eye countries, and were engaged in a variety of different businesses, then branching out into some other things. So today, Viasat is a player on the world stage with over 5,000 employees, doing business in a number of countries, and very successful in bringing state-of-the-art technologies forward into defense applications.
Now, we know Viasat provides services to both the U.S. Army and the Canadian Army. I'm a little curious, can you share some of the challenges that you see for the Canadian Army and how that might be different or actually similar to the U.S. Army?
Yeah, there's a variety of challenges. You know, you mentioned when you introduced me, John, I thank you for your kind introduction. I've been in this defense and aerospace market segment now for nearly 40 years, and there's been a number of significant changes. You know, when I first started, defense organizations were in the business of inventing technology to empower our young men and women in uniform with situation awareness, communications, the ability to command and control, the ability to know where their buddies were, where the adversary was, and we were bringing forward technologies that had never existed before. These were technologies that involved satellite communications or global positioning systems, certainly cybersecurity, mobile networking. All of these different kinds of technologies were born to address defense problems and defense capability gaps, so that our young men and women in uniform could understand the world around them and to improve their safety and to improve their mission effectiveness. In probably the mid-90s, or the early 2000s, many of these technologies were grabbed hold of by the private sector, and they were employed to bring capabilities into the civilian world, into residences, and to empower people with mobile cellular phones and smartphones, to bring satellite television and satellite internet into people's homes, and even into commercial airlines and business jets and luxury yachts, and cybersecurity was brought forward to protect banking and healthcare and all of these things. So this technology that was once defense specific now is strongly present in our private sector. And the private sector, of course, operates differently. They utilize agile development processes. They have accelerated ways to apply development funding and to finance large-scale technology developments. Viasat's a good example. We're in the process of fielding our third-generation satellite technology, Viasat-1. Our first generation was launched in 2011, Viasat-2 in 2017, and now we're bringing forward Viasat-3, a third-generation technology. So What we see with this technology crossover into the private sector, this technology leadership crossover actually, is that the technology trajectory and the pace is accelerating dramatically. And we're seeing this technology go from one generation to the next generation. Mobile networking is a good example. We see it move from 2G to 3G to 4G to 5G LTE. It seems just every year or two. And this presents a significant challenge onto our defense community because it is our young men and women. It's the CAF, the Canadian Armed Forces that just like the American Armed Forces or the other Five Eye countries in the UK or Australia, this technology is what is empowering, and we have a responsibility to keep our defense forces on the cutting edge of this technology, and it's challenging because the acquisition systems in large part were predicated and built on the invention of technology. And now with this technology crossover, our defense acquisition processes need to adapt and find a way to apply this private sector technology into a warfighter context or a defense context so that our soldiers stay on the cutting edge of technology and we field it quickly. You can see, so the challenges really are in the rate of change of the technology and in the ability of CAF and other armies to absorb these new capabilities and put them to work for our young men and women in uniform.
That's really interesting. So it's gone from the technology being developed for military purposes and incubated, and I guess that's where you kind of learn from the mistakes as you're going through the process, to now private sector develops a technology and you have to adapt it to military application. I'm just curious, are there security risks with that as well?
I wouldn't frame it as a security risk. I would say it is, you know, companies like Viasat were born in the defense business. I think the first 20 or 25 years of Viasat's history, we leveraged small business innovative research contracts and we were doing business in the defense market. So companies like Viasat have a deep understanding of the defense requirement, the defense security requirements. We have a deep understanding of the current and emergent threat vectors being brought forward by all kinds of adversaries, peer adversaries, as well as others. And so we have that knowledge ingrained in our corporate culture and in our engineering processes and our development processes. So when we bring forward private sector technology like a satellite constellation, it leverages and is built upon this foundation of defense experience. So we bring forward these capabilities that already address in a built-in and in an integrated in a holistic way, many of the defense requirements, such as security, assured communications, resilient communications, those kinds of things they're just ingrained in our being and our engineers as we bring forward these capabilities. So there is an opportunity there for Canadian Armed Forces and others to really tap into this as an opportunity to leverage this private sector investment and to leverage the accelerated trajectory that these technologies are on because we're building them, not just for the commercial market, but for the defense market as well.
So it's in your DNA, in other words, really, as you put this together. I would be curious, how do you get past that adaptation gap? What is Viasat doing to be able to deal with these capability issues?
Well, look, think of how connectivity and even cloud connectivity is put to work every day in our civilian lives. You know, when we climb into our car, it tells us how to navigate. It tells us if there's congestion on the highway. It alerts us if something that maybe we've been shopping for online is suddenly on sale so that we have an opportunity to purchase it. It protects, from a security perspective, our ability to do online banking or make restaurant reservations from our smartphone. All of these things are capabilities that we take for granted, and they, you know, they're part of our life in the civilian world. So when we translate or transport these capabilities into a defense context, what we're talking about now is soldier, sailor, airman, the ability for them to understand the world around them. Their version of congestion on the highway might be being proactively notified that there is an ambush or a potential potentially IED that might be on their route of travel or something like that, and that they need to avoid it or take action to move around it. So these technologies from that are highly enabled by assured connectivity or broadband connectivity and secured assured broadband connectivity, these capabilities to bring proactive tipping and queuing, to bring knowledge forward that aids the cognitive decision processes of us in the civilian world, those same types of technologies are readily applicable in a defense context. And so ViaSat's, you know, companies like ViaSat are at the forefront of bringing forward cutting-edge technology and then serving both markets, the civilian market as well as the defense market, and doing it affordably. This helps armed forces, it benefits the taxpayer in a defense context because we no longer require the same kind of development funding, research and development funding funded by governments and taxpayers that we used to 10 or 20 years ago when this technology didn't exist. Now in many ways we're bringing forward this technology in an accelerated way with private sector funding, and then we're pushing it into the defense market to be tested, assessed, and evaluated in a warfighter, a defense context. And so that's what we're doing at ViaSat, and we're finding that we learn from that, and then these defense organizations pull that technology forward and put it to work.
That's actually a great point, and I appreciate you helping to save us a few tax dollars there for sure. Obviously, ViaSat must play a pretty big role in C4ISR. I'm wondering, can you give us some examples of some of the capabilities that have been demonstrated recently through some of the military exercises that have gone on?
Certainly. We've participated and brought forward our technology in satellite communications, cybersecurity, and ground mobile networking. We've brought products and capabilities forward for events like Saber Strike. Saber Strike was a 20-nation event that was executed in Europe in the summer, just a few months ago. And it's these kinds of venues where multi-nation organizations are working together in a coalition format, and they're, for example, parachuting into areas, they're doing force maneuvers, they're demonstrating the ability not just for intra-organization communications, but inter-organization communications, and the sharing of information in a sovereign context, but also across sovereign lines so that the coalition can fight as an organization or can behave as an organization. So we demonstrated our satellite communications capability, cybersecurity, and mobile networking in the Saber Strike context. And that provides a lens through which Canadian defense acquisition authorities and organizations can evaluate it for its applicability in programs that are coming up in Canada, like the Land Command Support System, ISR, Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance Modernization Program, or the Land Command Support System, Tactical Communications Modernization Program, which aims to modernize and improve the Canadian Army's tactical dismounted as well as mounted communications infrastructure and support the seamless routing, the assured routing of sensor information around the battlefield. Those two programs are able to see the applicability and suitability of these kinds of private sector technology and operational capabilities through events like Saber Strike.
Oh, that's a lot, and thank you for that overview. Ken, I'd like to take a moment to congratulate you for being selected by Vanguard Magazine as a game changer. That's pretty big news. Congratulations.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it a lot, and I'm very fortunate to lead an organization at ViaSat where it's really a culture of innovation. It is a culture where leadership is a real pleasure. It has its challenges always, but it's a pleasure because we try to unleash our employees. We try to unleash their passions so that they can do things that they're really passionate about and that really really make a difference. And in the government side or the defense side of our business, we have veteran, former soldiers and sailors from the U.S. and Canadian Armed Forces, as well as others. And we partner them with our engineers and technologists so that they can conspire together and really imagineer capabilities that some of these veterans wish they had when they were executing missions and they were in the service of their country. So we partner our veteran warfighters with our engineers and technologists, and then we create a better way, a safer way, a way to keep them more informed, a way to connect their airborne platforms or their ground platforms and provide this cloud empowerment to aid them in their awareness of the world around them and to accelerate their cognitive decision processes and enable them to make decisions with higher confidence. That's the kind of thing that we're really proud of. You know, another example is in satellite communications. It was this combination of our former uniformed veterans with our engineers and technologists that gave birth to this concept of the hybrid adaptive network, where defense forces are not just confined to buying bandwidth on a military satellite like WGS, but they're increasingly buying satellite terminals that have the ability to operate over those dedicated military purpose-built systems, but also to roam among commercial systems that are being launched every day, not just at in geostationary orbit, but also at medium Earth orbit and low Earth orbit, so that soldiers and warfighters, sailors, etc., can roam seamlessly among these different satellite constellations, some military or dedicated defense constellations and some commercial constellations, so they have the ability to take advantage of these emerging technologies. And it's more affordable as well because they only pay for the portion of time they're on those networks rather than having to pay for the full cost of sustaining those networks on a 24/7 kind of basis. So these kind of concepts are being born out of this unique combination of the marriage between our veterans and our engineers and technologists. And we're very passionate about bringing forward capabilities that offer a better way.
Well, that certainly comes through very clearly, and it's clear to see why you have been chosen to be a game changer. For our listenership and our readership, if you'd like to read more about the profile, please go to vanguardcanada.com, and you can check out why Ken is a game changer. If you'd like to know a little bit more about Viasat, please go to their website, which is viasat.com. That's viasat.com. Ken, will you be attending CANSEC this year?
Yes. In fact, we have a team attending. We have a variety of capabilities we're putting on display there, from cybersecurity, satellite communications, to mobile networking. We just made an announcement on our Link 16 tactical data links capability. Our small tactical terminal, the KOR-24A, is being used in Canadian platforms, ground and air, to provide secure tactical data link communications that improve situation awareness. That's the kind of thing that we'll be demonstrating at CANSEC, and it is a priority event on our calendar.
That's excellent. So that's another opportunity for our listenership and readership to meet you and your team and to check out your products. We have had the pleasure today to speak with Ken Peterman, President, Government Systems at Viasat, a global communications company. Ken, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, John. It's been my pleasure.